Before we jump into today's topic, we have a couple corrections to bring to the table. First of all, to our listeners, we definitely appreciate corrections. We do not do like a fact check at the end of these that often or anything like that, and we obviously don't bring up corrections that much. But if you have one, let us know, because that definitely lets us know that you're engaged and actually listening, which, believe it or not, makes us very, very happy. So thank you. The first one I wanted to bring up was from, I've got two today, unless y'all have any, but we got it on our Facebook page, but on our episode 42, Southern Baptist Convention, we talked a little bit about Brett from Fillmore, and a listener, Gabriel, actually said that Brett from Fillmore sells houses in Iowa, not Montana. So that's really helpful to know. That's, yeah, yo, absolutely. But yeah, thank you so much for that. And the second one actually came from my mom, who let me know that I was absolutely not accurate about some stuff that I was talking about on the Southern Baptist Convention episode regarding the way that they took that, when we were talking about Disney and how they were specifically, I guess, I don't know if it was Southern Baptist Convention or some groups were talking about basically boycotting Disney because of their stance for homosexuality in the 90s. They were obviously pro-gay, which was very, very progressive in the 90s. And yes, we still were allowed to watch Disney movies and the Disney Channel. And my mom specifically said that she made her judgment calls not on what somebody else was telling her or my dad, but on what they thought was deemed appropriate material for us at the age to watch. So I wanted to give that correction. So I apparently misremembered that story that I was telling.
Sorry. Ow. That last comment caught me off guard. I had popsicle in my mouth still.
And our listeners will never know. And that is the beauty of recording.
Or will they? Or will they?
Well, it depends on what we're disclosing at this moment. Y'all, I missed you guys, man. It's good to be back.
How was wrangling horses and
wherever
we said? Delaware?
Yeah. Delaware.
Oh yeah, that's what
Brad.
What happened?
Yeah, I did listen to the episode that I was not a part of, and I wasn't in California. Unfortunately, I wasn't spending time with horses. I was in Florida, where anything can happen, and news is always interesting. So we had good times, man. Had a little work weekend there. / got to hang out with my fam and my sister. My sister Mary came into town, which was really, really great to have free babysitting / get to reconnect with my wonderful sister. So
awesome.
Dude, wow.
Very, very good weekend.
We put zero effort in finding out where you were.
Yeah, no, I definitely realized that. I appreciate the lack of effort and just really the imagination that went into that.
That was all James.
From our previous episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
That was all James. But there's a radio station in Oklahoma City that every day at the end of the time that they have will do stories from Florida. Normally it's like people who have gotten arrested for really weird stuff, and it is hilarious. Right. It is absolutely hilarious.
Florida's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a nice divide between like hilarious and just horrific.
Yeah.
That you get to kind of straddle as you're reading those headlines or looking into what happens in that really interesting state.
Yeah. The state signs going in should basically just say Florida, home of the chimpocalypse.
Why not, man? Why not?
This is one of those times where I don't really know what you just said. But David laughed, so it must have been funny. So I chuckled to myself, and I don't even know what I'm laughing at.
It was. It's a, I believe it's a reference to Irrelevant.
So there's a story. There's somebody on the Relevant Podcast who's convinced that the world's basically going to end when the chimps take over, and is just waiting for that inevitable time. And there's basically not a week that goes by that chimps don't escape somewhere in Florida. Like it's just always happening. They just haphazardly have chimps in places that weren't prepared for chimps, or they have places that are like designated chimp island, and they somehow don't secure it, and so they lose them sometimes. So that's a thing. Actually,
that is a thing.
Mildly on that note, my fiance and her sister, they went to the New Orleans Zoo yesterday. And
I was about to bring this up, James. I'm really glad you're about to talk about it.
And they were talking about a escaped panther, I think is what it was. They got
that's
out.
Correct. Jaguar, panther. Yes.
They might as well
giant
be the same
cat.
Thing.
Giant
large cat.
Yes.
And it got out apparently overnight. And I found out just how bad at math apparently Lacey May is. Because she said, she said, eight animals died from this panther getting out. There were three different species. Guess what they were? And I guessed foxes because she said he was found in a fox enclosure. So I assumed foxes died. And then the next one was llamas or alpacas. I think alpacas. Three foxes died, five alpacas. Now, for those of you who are adding it up, that's eight animals. How is a third species involved if eight are already dead and only eight died? So I'm right. Not totally sure how that whole mixture went. The other was emus, I think. Some of those died. But yeah, it apparently got out and just started chasing stuff down. And apparently if you're a panther and other animals are in enclosures, it's really easy to kill a lot of stuff. That's what they found out at the New Orleans Zoo, and showed up the next morning and were like, oh, crap. So that happened.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that that poor zoo experienced its own personal Walking Dead for that night, right? Like it was apocalyptic for those animals. I cannot imagine the just abject terror that would go through your poor little mind if you're an animal in a cage and you look out. And you realize, oh, that's not a person looking at me with a kid that's screaming, so I'll make some sort of noise to entertain it. That's a jaguar. Like that,
right.
That cat is looking of how to get into this right now, get into my cage and just feast on me in my little 10x10 square. Like,
yeah.
Just terror.
And apparently they attack any movement. It wasn't just for food. If there's movement, they'll attack once they start attacking. So, yeah, those poor things see one of their brothers being torn to pieces, and if they move, they will also be chased down and torn to pieces in their tiny enclosure. I'm just hoping that whomever actually found that this happened found the either fox enclosure with the panther in it or the empty panther enclosure first. So there was some premise, because if they found like the emu or alpaca enclosure first and just blood everywhere, that would be horrific.
Just meaning like the confusion, the overall confusion of like why is there just blood,
yeah, just
everywhere,
some parts of animals.
Yeah. And I mean, and this may show like my age and what we grew up with movie wise but this makes me think of just Jurassic Park period, right? Like obviously there's no dinosaurs here, but if you're a worker at that zoo, right, you show up and you realize something is amiss and I need to do something about it.
Yeah.
You look over, that poor emu's head is gone. You're like, I'm being hunted right now.
Yeah.
Like,
the zookeeper pulled up to the enclosure and it was raining, and he had a sky like a moonroof. And the leg of an alpaca landed on top, and he just slowly saw the panther's arm go back over the fence. That's how he knew something was wrong.
Hold on to your butts. Lordy.
Between that and the dude getting chomped on the toilet, I mean, it's classic.
Right?
Oh,
absolutely.
My gosh,
speaking of goats, or you weren't speaking of goats, but there were goats in Montana that just were roaming the neighborhoods, which apparently I find this more fascinating than the fact that there was a herd of goats just running around the neighborhood, is that in Montana, they rent, like people rent a herd of goats to mow their yard. And this is a business. And that's how those goats, like, they had been rented to this place and they were mowing this yard and they got out through a gate. And that's how they were all just roaming through the neighborhood.
See, none of that sounds surprising to me. I imagine there's at least one person in every town that rides a moose to work. It's Montana.
So, Brad, as the lovely host of Everything Is Okay, mm-hmm. what's our topic today?
David, our topic today is the topic of integrity.
Ooh.
Integrity and how that has shaped, or how it has been shaping in our lives.
How it has been shaped in our lives.
Is that the proper way of saying that? Did I say that correctly?
I don't think so.
How it's
I'm gonna look at James. James, our
I just feel like there was
a
weird emphasis that you put on it. I think you mostly you did most of it right. I don't even know what you did wrong. It felt very wrong. It didn't feel right.
Right. So as I was talking, I realized that I didn't know what the proper word was or phrasing of the sentence. So I just kept going, hoping that I was guessing correctly.
If you make enough noises, then it'll be all right.
Right.
That sounds like how I live my life on a daily basis, Brad. Mm. Thank you for being honest about that.
Right.
I try to make up at least one new word per week, basically. And then James will occasionally help me just navigate how wrong that word is. So
Dink and Flicka.
Absolutely, man. Hey, we all have a role here on this podcast. I'm just glad we know what those
sometimes
are.
Sometimes you just gotta fleece it out.
You do gotta, dude, you gotta fleece that
man
out, man.
That is one of the best scenes in The Office is when Daryl says that he teaches Michael some phrases that us black folks say, like fleece it out and dink and flicka.
Man, that was, to me, was a little bit of an obscure Office reference. I'm glad that you explained it. I don't think I'm the only one that missed it. I love The Office. Thank you for bringing
it's totally
that.
Fine.
That was a good one. James.
It's a,
thank you.
It's a deep cut, basically only for Alex Bickle. No one else will remember that, but that's all right.
I love you, Alex.
Dude, I'm in. Because I was immediately thinking of the other scene in with Daryl that is subtle, but I just now saw it like last night, and it's the one where his grandmother dies and they give him a card, but people think it's his birthday.
And the tear and so rolls down his cheek.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, they're punching God. Him in the gut, and they're
yeah.
You know, cheer up, Daryl. Days like this doesn't happen very often. Let's get drunk. Oh man, that just made me
that
chuckle.
Show.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I do want to get a little bit serious here today, guys. Which it may shock some of our listeners, but we are talking about integrity. The first thing I wanted to hit on today was for you both to think back into, I guess, childhood development, high school, even young adult age. Is there any specific moments that helped kind of concrete this concept of integrity for you, or like really spread light on what it means for you per se and that sort of thing?
Oh.
All right, guys, that'll do it.
And that
where
was
everything
it.
Is okay. You can check us out at everythingisokay.net.
I think I've shared this story before. It's a conversation that I had with my father. I want to say it was around freshman or sophomore year of high school. I can't remember right off the bat, but I know I was in the car with him. I was dating somebody at the time, and we weren't really talking about that, but we were kind of talking about some friends and maybe they had had a situation happen and they had broken up, and I was kind of talking about that. And my dad really subtly, which I've grown to appreciate about him more and more as I've gotten older, he said, you know, if something was to happen between you and whoever this girl I was dating at the time, if something was to happen between you two, you would get a high five in school and she would get a reputation. And because of that, you need to guard her at all costs and even take the blame for something that may not be your fault, because you'll be able to take it reputation wise. But she probably won't. And he said it really quickly, and we moved on to some other topic, but that stuck with me. And for my entire rest of high school through college, and once I finally met Megan, it was something that was constantly in my mind and shaped who I was as a spouse. So that's the biggest memory I have.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know of, like, anything growing up. Like, I can't think of, like, specific moments or anything that I would say were things that were foundational. I will say that I guess it was later in life, because it was couple years ago. We had a friend here, name is Tony, who was killed kind of out of nowhere. And he was somebody that, like, everybody who knew him looked up to him, and I think would use terms like integrity to describe him. But it's in, like, going to his funeral and talking to different people through that whole process, there were people that came from everywhere that we had no idea he had any interactions with or whatever. That the person that we saw Tony as, you know, on at church on Sunday, or helping at the homeless shelter or whatever, the stuff that, like, normally people are, like, on, you know, when they're there at those places. And just seeing and hearing people talk about the interactions he had with them all throughout the day. I don't know how he did as many things as he did throughout the day, but he's the best picture of integrity to me, because it appears that, like, every minute of the day he was that guy. The guy that we saw in the moments where, you know, typically people can, you know, put on a happy face or, you know, be the nice guy for so long. He apparently was that all the time. So he's definitely somebody that I think of for that term.
That's awesome. When I was thinking about this topic, there were a couple different moments that came to my mind. One of the things that jumped out at me was that, like, both of my parents, like, consistently did what needed to be done to support us, to teach us, and to give us the best life possible, and rarely, if ever, complained about, like, the constant small task and work that went into raising all of my siblings and myself, which I think was incredible. Like, that seared into me when I was thinking about, what do I do when nobody's around? Like, when it comes to, like, work ethic / what my values are, like, am I going to maintain, am I going to have a consistency across that board of what I care about? And, I saw that. The other thing that comes to my mind was when I was in fourth grade, Mrs. Rosemary was my teacher. I went to this small Baptist school in Claremore, Oklahoma. And I knew through obviously teaching and everything, I was very much in the church. My parents were very clear about like different rules or whatever that needed to be followed, how we respect those who are in charge and that we don't cheat and, you know, we do what we need to do. Well, I had the opportunity to cheat on this exam, guys, and I'm not going to lie, I didn't study like I was supposed to. I'm in fourth grade, and I don't remember how I did it, but I definitely like glanced at a couple answers on this quiz or whatever, and she caught me, and I went out to the playground, and she goes, David, can you come over here? So I like kind of trot over there, and I'm like pretty nervous because this doesn't usually happen. And she basically asked me straight up, like, did you look at something like on this quiz, blah, blah, blah. And I lied to her, like straight to her face. Like I was like, nope, I didn't do that. And she goes, are you sure? And I was like, absolutely. And she was like, okay. And she let it be. And she knew for a fact that I had cheated on that, right? And so I had to leave school that day with this like immense amount of guilt because I knew, like, first of all, I consider myself somebody that was like, oh, I don't cheat. Like, I don't do this sort of thing. Like, that's obviously wrong. That's not part of my value system or whatever. And the fact that she didn't, like, punish me was the worst punishment possible. And I did not cheat ever again in school because of the way that she treated me on that day, which is, I think, is pretty insane. Like, when you think about, I don't know, do you think that she was like, oh, yeah, that's that, this, the way that I handled the situation with this young boy in fourth grade has the potential of impacting the trajectory of his life when it comes to, like, hey, I should be honest when I'm doing these stupid exams we have to do in our formalized education. I don't know, but that had a huge impact on me. And then my grandparents, but pretty wild. Yeah.
And then my grandparents.
Oh yeah, no, I could talk for hours on how my pawpaw impacted me and shaped like my integrity / work ethic, all of that. So, but yeah, no, I wanted just to start it with that because I know that we all have individual examples, even if we can't think of them right now, that probably have a pretty huge impact on our development from a very young age. And from a definition standpoint, when we think of integrity, there's a couple different definitions that come to mind. For me, I personally think of like following whatever set of values or whatever set of like morality that you have shaped or conditioned in your life, following those rules consistently. When around people, like with James' example of like being in public and like, hey, I'm serving folks, blah, 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 I'm so sweet. And then also when you're away from judgment, when you're away from judging eyes, when it's just you, and God, and like, how are you acting there? So like a consistency with that, is something that I think of. And I think when we think of hypocrisy, both in the Christian sense of that term and then also the secular sense of that term, I see that as the opposite of having integrity or acting with integrity. What did y'all think of like when you hear that word definition wise? Like, is that kind of what y'all were thinking or?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the phrase that always came to mind was, you know, who you are when no one's looking. I think that was a phrase I think we heard a lot in church. That started early on. And that was kind of the buzz phrase, I guess. And so anytime you hear the word integrity, that always pops in my mind. So whoever that first Sunday school teacher was that threw that phrase out there, congratulations, it stuck.
Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, one of the first things I did when You mentioned this as a possible topic, was look up the definition of it. And so I didn't even really have much of a chance for my own definition to kind of take over. And the definition I kept seeing was the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightedness. So that's the yes. That's the definition I kept seeing everywhere.
Heck yeah, man.
So that's basically the framework I took to looking at the whole topic.
So I think one of the challenging questions I would throw out though is how has there been key characters in history, let's just go with after Jesus in history, that may or may not identify as Christian, that have demonstrated like a true integrity or an honesty in the way that they operate from a value system, and can you achieve a legitimate integrity outside of the Spirit of God, or of not identifying as Christian and asking for the Holy Spirit to come in your life and to like kind of help you operate in our culture that is inherently broken.
So I guess the question that would come to my mind is, if a definite, you know, based on the definition that I said earlier, which was who you are when no one's looking, can you be a person of integrity who a lot of people would say you're not very moral? But if you're the same person, is that a person of integrity? And by that, I mean, you know, you've thrown out a lot of examples, you know, from biblical history, from that nature. And I think one of the things that shaped all of our view on integrity was how we grew up and the environments we were around and what integrity looked like to us, because that's what we were around. I do think that there's a universal morality, but I also think that that evolves. I think the reason why you look at Old Testament stories and they're raping women and killing their husbands, or you look at slavery, and if you ask yourself, why is that not okay now when it was okay in the 1800s? You know, I don't believe that that is a universal morality there. I think that there's a evolution to morality. Now, whether that means an evolution to a view of God or, you know, what that is, I'm not quite sure. But to me, based on the definition of integrity that I've always had in my head, I'll use an example of, so being in college and having a friend who goes out on Fridays and Saturday nights and goes home with a girl every time, normally a different girl, can he still be a person of integrity, even if you don't think that that's moral, what he's doing, based on the way we believe life should be? So I don't know. That's what makes it tough to me, is I feel like it's impossible for us to not throw in a faith aspect of this, because that's the way all three of us grew up. And whether, and I say this not meaning that I don't like it, but whether we like it or not, that's ingrained in our thinking all the time. So, I mean, I guess that would be a question to me, is somebody like that, are they still a person of integrity? They're the same person when you meet them on the street as who they are at home. So are they a person of integrity?
I mean, so in arguing some of the, I guess some people would say semantics of it, I would say that I don't think morality evolves. I think for me personally, morality is a standard put forth by God. I think it's a supernatural higher power code, I guess you could say. something of that sort. But I would agree that I would assign the word ethic to the adjusting way that people interact culturally and all of that. As things change, the ethics allowed do change. I would definitely say that. And we always have an adjusting code of ethics. But with that, as far as integrity would be reflective of a code of ethics, yes. Somebody outside of any religious belief system whatsoever, I feel like could live up to an ethical way of living. I absolutely think that's a possibility. Don't think they could live up to integrity in the form of living up to a morality. The definition that I was reading, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. I mean, I don't know. I feel like living up to the code of morality that God puts forth and being able to be someone of that much sacrifice, I feel like that does need some sort of supernatural aid. But I do think people can be people of integrity and people who, as Brad was saying, are the same when people see them and when they don't see them. Sometimes that means they're just always a jerk. And sometimes they're always good people, but they're just consistent. So as far as the idea of integrity being consistency, I definitely think that there's the possibility to be a person of integrity outside of faith.
And my belief on that is it's a little bit different. I think from a humanistic standpoint of morality, and morality defined as like a determination of good versus bad, or good versus evil, or what is good for the greater good or for myself versus what is bad for the greater good or for other people that I'm interacting with. I think that people not of faith have morality codes that they follow that they've been taught by, you know, people around them, their families, etc., that they've determined after going through some sort of process of basically vetting those morals that, like, hey, this is going to be my code. And then they can decide that, hey, it is beneficial for the greater good for me to follow, not only follow this code, but to be consistent, aka to have integrity, even when I'm not watched or judged. I do like what you said specifically about the morality that Jesus Christ represents, though. And I think that the morality that Jesus Christ represents, that the three of us believe is the morality of God, is absolutely on a higher plane that is counterintuitive to humanity's innate understanding reciprocal action, mm-hmm. right? Like the quid pro quo kind of concept of, like, I'm going to do good to you, then I expect you to do good back to me. And if you do bad to me, then I may do bad to you and maybe on a whole nother level, you know?
Yeah.
Like that kind of, I think when I think of, and I will shout out to Brad, I think it is hard to see our world outside of the worldview that we are brought up with. I agree. It is hard to get away from like Judeo-Christian values, since they've been such a big part of three of our lives.
Judo-Christian is a very different thing.
Judo-Christian more belts. Is actually a really sweet belt kind of system / karate system
I work.
Dude, I have lots of belts. Some are leather, some are black. And I put them on, and then it like kind of ups my level.
Wait,
it's almost like going Super Saiyan.
Do you think black is a material? Like
a black belt?
You said some are leather, some are black. You know, this one's black made out cloth. Of black. I have one made out of yellow, one made out of purple.
I know my colors, but not specifically what materials they're made out of. Some sort of cloth material. I think it's cotton. I don't know. Damn it, James.
I'm sorry.
but back to my point, Yeah. So from a morality standpoint of like following a set of values, I think that those values can be set outside of a religious system. But in the United States, specifically the areas like the Bible Belt areas that we've lived in, it's probably very hard to see that value system outside of the frame of some sort of religion, period, because of how prevalent religion is in the United States, in at least the areas that we...
I mean, that just shows how much religion has hijacked it, though, right? I mean, that's what the idea of, like, chivalry and all of that, you know, what was it, Bushido, that the Japanese had? Like, there's these codes that are things to live by that are people of integrity that are completely apart from religion at all that people lived up to, but it's kind of been hijacked as like, of course, this only has stuff to do with religion, which is might be part of the downfall of societies, is that we religiousized it. And so these codes of ethics that were just blanket statements, whether you had belief in God or not, kind of faded away.
Yeah. And another point that we talked about earlier in this conversation was just about like, can morality improve or evolve? And I think morality outside of the framework of like God's morality, right? So if we're looking at this from a like non-religious standpoint of just like humanity's morality, I think that there's different points in history that you could point and say that, hey, like we have made progress. We have failed for sure, but there have been these points of progress where it looks like the greater population has made some strides forward, that saying like, hey, poverty, like terrible, terrible poverty is a problem. We may not have been able to fix it yet, but I think that there's a general understanding, at least I hope, in Western society and like higher educated society that says like, this is a problem. This hurts the greater good if we have people who are extremely poor, and that being extremely poor affects their quality of life. And like, we generally want the quality of life of hopefully everybody from a morality standpoint to be better, because we've decided that having a higher quality of life equals potentially more happiness and less misery. And that's a good thing. Like that's, I think society has made steps forward in that. Doesn't mean that we're not going to fall back or something terrible is going to happen, like the end of the world, and we're going to all go back to like tribal society and just murdering everybody and taking what you can. But right now, ideally, we are taking steps forward to kind of right some of those wrongs. like the general concept of if you have a lot, if you are someone who's extremely affluent, like there is a value or a hope that you are going to give away a large amount of your wealth to help the greater good, right? And then we lift up different figures like Bill Gates, for example, who's given away an immense amount of his wealth in order to help the greater good. And like, I see that as hopefully a move forward in the general secular kind of population's understanding of a value system and what morality looks like. And I may be off, but I hope so.
You hope you're off?
No, I hope that I'm right. So
yeah,
thank you.
We just need more rich people to be like LeBron James.
Yeah, he started his own school, right?
Yeah, that he's like paying for everything.
His funding is,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. Freaking awesome. So let's hit some Bible verses real quick. Did y'all see any? Did any Bible verses come up to your mind outside of my outline that you wanted to bring up? If not, I'll just shoot a couple of these.
Go for it.
All right. So I did a quick search. And I was like, integrity in the Bible, wisdom and integrity. So this is what, these are a couple ones that I found. Proverbs 28:6, better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. Proverbs 21:3. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. That one really hit me. I was like, man, I should read Proverbs more often. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do to you. Again, that's golden rule right there. Proverbs 4:25 through 27, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And then I was just like, these are all good. But then you look at Christ's example in the four gospels and you're like, okay, all right. This is taking it to the next level. And I think we've hit on that, but my thoughts.
That Jesus, I hear he was a good guy.
Dude, I hear Jesus kind of took it to this whole crazy level where he didn't care about, you know, the values of the world, of gaining wealth or prestige. He did face all the temptation that humanity would face in the desert and said, get away from me, Satan. I don't need all this money. I don't need all these ladies. But yeah, no, obviously values, like a value system is represented in the Bible in different verses pretty explicitly. And then we have Christ's example of the way that he acted around not only his followers, but around the people who were in positions of power. He wasn't afraid to challenge them, but he also, I think, brought a level of respect and consistency with the way that he acted across the board. And he also, he died to himself, obviously literally, but also figuratively in so many of the pleasures that that we are tempted by on a day-to-day basis. You know, I don't think he was eating at like
Cracker Barrel,
these three-star Michelin restaurants. You know what I'm saying? Like in Italy, he may have gone to Cracker Barrel. I wouldn't hold that against him. I mean, that's pretty affordable.
He was seen to frequent Waffle House though.
Yeah, because that's where just the people.
That's where
are,
the people
man.
Are.
You know, that's the salt. That's the salt of the earth, right there.
Thank you, JTT.
Yeah.
I think a person that comes to mind right now that I think acted on integrity that may not come to mind normally would be Colin Kaepernick. To me, he stuck to his convictions. He, you know, has been ostracized for it. Now, obviously, the government and other people have totally bastardized why he did the whole thing.
Right.
But when you look at how that got started, you look at initially he sat. You look at he got a letter saying that's being disrespectful. He met with a military person, which he didn't have to do. He said, what is a respectful way for me to protest? He was told that kneeling was a sign of respect. So he did the sign of respect that a military person told him he could do. He stuck with what he was still believing. He knelt. People got pissed. He's now out of a job, has been vilified, has been all these things, but yet he is sticking to the, not only is he sticking to the same cause, but he's sticking to the same reason why he started. He hasn't wavered. It is, to me, he is a person of integrity. You know, and I could give a crap what his morals are, what his view on homosexuality is. I could care less about. But I think he, to me, is a person of integrity. And then it's, you know, it's easy to look at Trump and be like, well, that's not a person of integrity because he lies every time he talks, you know. So that's easy to be like, well, to me, that's not a person of integrity. But I think that's where I tried to take this when I was thinking about this today when I was driving was, who is somebody that I can't specifically say definitely has a religious aspect to their thinking, which he might, I don't know. but to me is acting on integrity. And Colin Kaepernick is my example, I think.
Sadly, I feel pretty wary on saying this is somebody in the just any level of celebrity, whether politician or actor or whatever. Because, you know, it wasn't that long ago people would have said, man, that Bill Cosby is definitely a man of integrity. You know what I mean? It feels like so many people.
Yeah, but that's not their fault that they're famous necessarily.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, too often it feels like anytime there's people who are held up as people of integrity, it feels like they have been, like, failing behind the scenes and it comes out lately. That's what it feels like right now. And maybe so many people having things come out about them, whether I would have viewed them as that or not originally, it's just been too many people. So I feel like I'm skeptical of, like, all people in positions of power or celebrity or whatever. And I've never really viewed people in the political realm and thought, you know what, that's somebody who I can really trust. I mean, I feel like it's a realm that it's just been constructed and moved into a realm where there's just so much backstabbing and everything that I don't know. It's hard for me to feel in like the grand scheme of a lot of people.
Well, I'm moving to where I feel that way about a lot of pastors. So, like, where are we at? I mean, so just because you're known, I don't know. I can't differentiate that because
I'm not going to say that's the fault of celebrity necessarily.
Yeah, because it's easy to say somebody has a lot of integrity when nobody really cares what they do on a day-to-day. But nobody cares what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So it's easy for somebody to be like, well, he has integrity.
Whoa. I care, Brad. I care about that hat and shirt choice.
Okay.
I think you do have integrity.
You only do today, so you won't care tomorrow because you won't see it. That's the point. True.
Well, if you send me a picture, I will. All right, man. Why don't you be a little bit more transparent? All right. We're trying to hold each other up.
You're right. True. But I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing, though.
I understand the point you're making, and I agree that it's just those are people who spotlights are shown on the behind the scenes where it's not for most people.
They're under higher levels of scrutiny, for sure, on a national level.
I mean, heck, look at a guy like Justin Bieber, famous before he was, like, when he was 15 years old, starts going through basically college age, and basically has a freak out like I did in college. Like, David, I think like you did in college, like where you are figuring out who you are. I think that was an aspect earlier that was really interesting. You know, when you're figuring out who you are and people, you're getting out of a group where everybody thinks the same. And now, you know, one of the first conversations I ever got in college was a guy basically saying, you're an idiot for believing in God. Here's why. If you even think that I'm stupid, you're stupid. Here's why. And before I even knew it, he had me in circles before I could even go, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and so in that, you know, it's easy to say he doesn't have integrity when he was just growing up like everybody else does, you know, and made a bad decision and it got broadcast to millions of people. I don't know.
So from that standpoint, then, I guess going back to what David's question was before, then is anybody a person of integrity, or do we just not care enough to find out where people lack integrity?
I hope there are people of integrity. Like, I really do. I think we have personal examples in our lives, the three of us at least, of people that we can look up to, that have been consistent on their values. Doesn't mean that they don't sin or make mistakes or fall short, but I think there's definitely people that maintain integrity and that have integrity. And for me, one of the things I was thinking about as I was driving was what human trait inside of us moves us to want to have integrity? Like, what's the benefit for us personally, for our soul, for our development, for those around us? And does that benefit outweigh just being somebody who's out for your own success? You know what I'm saying? Like the selfish, self-serving person who is whoever he needs to be for whoever in order to move up whatever proverbial ladder or whatever, and then stabs people in the back or does what he or she needs to do in order to get what's hers or whatever. And I concluded that absolutely there is a value add to maintaining a consistency with your belief system, with your value system, when you're on in front of people and when you're off. I think it supports your psyche. Like, I think it helps you go to sleep at night. I think it helps you from a organizational standpoint, or from a community is a better word, from a community standpoint, because you're trusted by people that you love and that you adore and that you're in community with. And like, that benefits the greater good of whatever small world that you're living in. And I think that although integrity in itself is not solely Christian, I think that it's in alignment of what example Christ has given us and what God has given us. And for that reason, I think it's absolutely beneficial. So
one last thought on the idea of people with celebrity not always maintaining integrity. I wonder if that's because it's just so much harder to maintain a level of integrity or whatever when given power, when there's a dynamic power change in your life. And a lot of that is people who've been given celebrity, especially quickly. I mean, that's a lot of power to wield. Famous people, absolutely. Famous people, like, are suddenly like allowed in some level to do certain things that are questionable or bad or whatever. There's something different about having the power of celebrity or being known, that I feel like that's probably a component to what leads a lot of people in that spotlight to fail. Because, I mean, it's easy for us to judge people who might be, you know, celebrities and fail in some way, but we have no idea how we would handle suddenly everybody we meet knowing our face and having never-ending money and that kind of thing. Like, it's, I just wonder how well ethics survive power.
Well, and I also, you know, on top of that, I wonder what would it be like to have anybody who meets you think they know who you are, assume who you are, and assume your motive, your ethic, your everything before they even say hi to you. I think that's the tough part. Not the everyone knows my face, not that I have a lot of money. It's everyone, you're a commodity to them. Like, you're not a person to them. And at that point, they're looking for you to fail in a way. It's a good story. look at them. They have all this money. They shouldn't fail, but they did. Oh my gosh.
That'll wrap up today's episode on integrity. I'm glad that we basically nailed that, and there's really nothing else to be said about it. So, no, but just in summary, we did try to unpack the kind of generalized definition of integrity, how that relates to morality. Are they different? The answer is yes. Integrity is a display of a set of values or your said morality. If you're more interested in Chickering, definitely research Chickering's student development theory. Like, he talks about the different levels that you can go through that we all go through, that Justin Bieber had to go through with millions and millions of people watching him fail. We talked about Immanuel Kant's categorical imperative. You can look that up. That's a pretty in-depth theory that's cited by hundreds and hundreds of papers. Yeah, the Bible. Maybe the Old Testament, taken at face value, might not be the best judge of what character and integrity and value looks like. We ask the question. It's a tough one, especially if you were brought up to defend the Bible. It seems kind of counterintuitive to tear it down, but we're asking hard questions about it. And saying that, like, hey, when you look through the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus's example, it's a different Old Testament. And it's something that I didn't do growing up. I didn't naturally do that, and now I'm trying to, and maybe it'll help you understand that a little bit better.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess with that we can go ahead and end this episode. I'm Brad Stair.
I'm David.
I'm James.
Hello. Everything's all right, people.
What?
It's just all right now.
I'm changing it up, man. Changing it up.
From here, I see the same things you see. All the cities are different. We're both in our home state. If I look up and you look above, it's the same place. I guess all that I'm saying is distance means nothing. And you'll keep out the cold when we're not too weird. One, all the boundaries will be burned. From the flames, they'll warm our bones. And they're in the middle of something we both see. See, but memory fades. All of these faces, will they hold their place in this faith? All that tape recorder holds what I know for times when I don't, and I'd wring my hands, but I'm not afraid. I guess all that I'm saying is distance means nothing. Love, love, it's a dawn, set, go away. We're all leaving, leaving. There in the middle is something we both see. Short, sweet, smaller than I am, I'll bend you, stretch, we'll collide, and it's no man's land, it's an island here on a map that was true and we tried it, and so we still circle around this sun. I guess all that I'm saying is distance means nothing. And you'll keep out the cold when we're to we're one. All the boundaries will be burned, and the flames, they'll warm our bones. I'm saying is distance means nothing.